John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's good to see each one of you here this morning and glad that you're here and just thankful to the Lord for his blessings upon us and the ability to meet together to worship him. And here we want to take a look and our continued consideration of these two words, I am, the Lord speaking, I am, saying that. We want to take a look at what it says here. The Lord is said in just a hallmark verse in verse number 1 of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He tells about what he's going to prepare and that his children, he's going to bring them. He's going to receive us into himself, that where he is, we may be there also. And what a blessed promise that is. And he says here, and whither I go, verse number 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're going to see. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. And we'll just skip over about the truth and the life. We're not going to leave those, but for this morning's consideration, he says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's heavy duty stuff. Brother Mark had mentioned about Jonah 2:9, salvation's of the Lord, the gospel in a encapsulated few words. And so it is with this. Jesus says, I am the way. The gospel, again, in encapsulated form, isn't it? He is the way. Him, the man, Christ Jesus. And so we wanted to take a look at this. I am the way. The Lord's saying that, I am the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your blessings upon us, your goodness towards us, Lord, in so many ways. You're so good to us, Father. Even when the things that come about are not easy, or as we would say, good on this flesh, Lord, you work all things well and do all things well. And Lord, you have a great desire for your children, Lord, to work in us that which would be glorifying to your name and pleasing to you in a way that would be a good witness to this world. Lord, use us. We're in your hands. And use us, Father, that we might be good witnesses of you until Jesus comes. Lord, that we would see more of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, and that we would know our Savior more. Lord, as the scripture says, and as the Lord Jesus Christ said there in Matthew 11, that we would learn of him, and that we might rejoice in it, we might be strengthened in you, and Lord, just have that peace and contentment and great blessing and fellowship. And Lord, thinking about what you've done for us, help us as your children that we would do so. And Lord, strengthen us in thee. Father, for those that are here and not saved, those that are here without Christ, Lord, that you would open their hearts and their eyes and their ears, Father, that they might see and hear and know that Jesus is the way, that he declares it and it is the truth, that he is the way. Help now, we pray and bless. And Lord, speak to us and minister to us from your word at this time. Help us, Father, that we would worship you in it. And we praise your name for it, Father. And pray that you would just bless us and help us. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here Jesus says to Thomas, and Philip is there near, says in verse number 8, Philip saith unto him, show us the Father. And we've looked at that recently. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've known me, you've known the Father. And the Lord Jesus is that manifestation of the Godhead. He is that which has come, that is God. Jesus is God. And so he tells them here, his disciples at hand, and he says, I am the way. In Matthew chapter 7, over here on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about ways, plural, and tells us about how it is with ways, okay? He speaks about them. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13, the Lord Jesus Christ says here, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in verse number 13 of Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. That's talking about that this morning. It's a great big broad way that leadeth to destruction. You can go on to destruction any way you want. It's your, choose it, pick it. You can go to destruction. Anything that'll come to my mind and yours, heart and mind, to the mind of mankind that we think is the way to righteousness, anything that comes to us, from us, is the way to destruction. You can get there any way you want to. Any way you want to, we can go in that destructive way. And many there be which go in thereat, this broad gate, this broad way and this wide gate at hand. And he says in verse number 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So there's a broad way and a wide gate. You can pick however you want to. Men naturally are going down that way, down that path, down that road. And if you want to do it, you can do it. Like I said this morning, you can sit, stand, wallow, do jumping jacks. And you understand what I'm saying. You can do anything you want to. You can make gods to yourself. You can make yourself God and go right down that broad way. And you know what's at the end of that broad way? Death and destruction for you and your soul. Because you know what? The way to life is a straight gate. That means it's narrow. It means it's particular. And it's narrow, and it's the way that leadeth to life. And you know, there'll be few that find it, because of it takes the touch of the Lord. It takes something outside of us to find the narrow gate. And you know what? You're here this morning and blessed to be amongst one of the Lord's churches with the teaching and preaching of God's word to tell you the truth about the narrow gate. So it's not that you that are here this morning are off somewhere and not able to hear the message about the narrow, but you're near. You've been blessed that you might hear about this narrow way and this straight gate. And it's the one that leads to life. He says, listen to what it says here. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They've got a message. They've got something they want to accomplish. But you know what? It's not that lendeth and that directeth towards the narrow way. Ye shall know them by their fruits. That's how you can tell. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No, you don't gather. You don't find out about the narrow way and the straight gate from somebody that preaches about the broad way and the broad gate. You don't do it. You can know. Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So let's go on here. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So there is a broad way and a narrow way. There are those that preach the broad way and the narrow way. And which way are you on? So Jesus talks to us about these narrow ways. Or these two ways, rather, the broad way and the narrow way. In Matthew chapter 4, when I think about this, and I've said already a couple times this morning about what you can do on the broad way, anything you want, and it leads to destruction, I think of this verse. I can't help thinking about the broad way without thinking of what was said here. In Matthew 4, verse number 12, the scripture says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, which is Isaiah, the prophet, saying, listen to this, this was prophesied, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Listen to this, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. You know, on the broad way, you can just plop down and sit there and do nothing, and you'll go to destruction. You can do anything you want to. It says there, they sat. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. Listen to this. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. You know what's going on the Broadway? The shadow of death is there. Because you know what's at the end of the Broadway? Is death indeed. And here, the Lord Jesus coming at the time of his ministry in that, light. When he came, there was light. And it's a testimony about the narrow way. The narrow way, the way of light, the way of life, the way of forgiveness and that. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the message of the narrow way, is the gospel, and that sinners are to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's dark on the Broadway, and it is deadly on the Broadway. In Proverbs chapter 14, and you know this passage, and we'll just turn over here and read it. It's mentioned a couple times in the scriptures in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 14, I like the way I'm on. Well, listen to what the scripture says. Listen to what the Lord says. This makes sense to me. What you preach, Brother Jim, it doesn't make sense to me. And that thing about the Bible and Jesus and all that, that just doesn't make sense to me. Listen to this. In Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, that's reiterated or told again in chapter 16, verse number 25. Same passage. Same words. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the broad way. Does it seem right to you? Do you justify yourself? Do you not care about what the Lord says and what the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is and what it represents? You know, I mentioned this in a service here not too long ago, that the presence and the fact of the gospel testifies to the point that we are in need. Otherwise, there would have been no reason for the gospel to come about, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord came and lived and died, was buried, and rose again for a reason. Because sinners need a Savior. Because we're naturally on that broad way. In Romans chapter 3, the scripture says this about the broad way. You know this passage speaking about the depravity of man, and it's often used and comes from different passages in the Old Testament scriptures out of Psalms and Isaiah and such. But let's just look at these couple of scriptures in Romans 3, verse number 12, speaking about the broad way. They are all, verse number 12, they are all gone out of the way. The way is the narrow way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Going to the Broadway. And that's the way it is on the Broadway. It is wicked and defiled. Verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. That's what the way on the Broadway, there's a semblance of peace, but it always leads to death. There's that peace that man tries to bring, that appeasing of the conscience and of the truth of the word that may come to the individual and a testimony, a condemnation about sin when that is of sin and disobedience against God is preached, and there might be remorse by a person that I've got a problem, but there's no peace. Because peace only comes by the narrow way. By the narrow way. There is that broad way. And then to speak about life, we've spoken about and mentioned a few things here about death, life on the Broadway, or should we say death on the Broadway, because that's really what's going on the Broadway. Anybody that's on the Broadway is dead and heading towards death, aren't they? But on the narrow way, there's life. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the scripture says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's life on the narrow way. Is what? Following Jesus. Denying self, denying our thinking, denying the way of the world, taking up our burden, our cross daily, our denial of self daily, and following the Lord. On the broad way, we just do whatever we want. On the narrow way, those that are on the narrow way, they follow Christ. They do what Christ says. They follow after Him. In Mark chapter 8, Brother Doug mentioned about one gaining the whole world and the riches of the world and losing their soul, I believe. Here in Mark chapter 8, we see a reference along that line. And in Mark chapter 8, verse number 35, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. I'm going to use my life to do whatever I want. Let's say to gain wealth, to gain prestige, notoriety, fame, or infamy, or whatever. You know what? You'll lose your life if you do that. You try to hold on to it. Try to and use it the way you want to. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. That's the way it works on the broad way. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. That's life on the narrow way. So Jesus talks to us about these ways, the broad way and the narrow way. And we've taken a look at some scriptures that talk about life on the broad way. It's dark, it's death, it's deadly. It's not the way of peace. It's a way that's out of the way from the narrow way. And then life on the narrow way is one that, of denying self and taking up the burden and way of the Lord and following Him. Losing our life for the sake of the Lord and for the sake of the Gospels. We'll gain it on the narrow way. So, life on the narrow way, which is following Christ, it yields a Christ-like conversation, doesn't it? Okay, listen to that. Life on the narrow way, if we're on the narrow way, we're saved by the Lord, saved by Him and following Him, walking on that narrow way that is the Lord Jesus Christ, following after Him, not on the broad way of self and the way of the world and sin and wickedness, but life on the narrow way, which is following Christ, it yields a Christ-like conversation, doesn't it? Pardon me, when we say that word conversation, we're not just talking about our speech, we're talking about our way of life, right? It starts with our thinking, and it's manifested with our speech, and it's also manifested with our doing, isn't it? Philippians chapter 1, this passage bears that out. Let's take a look over here, Philippians chapter 1. So there's a broad way and a narrow way. And on the narrow way, there's a behavior, not an acting, but a behavior, okay? Not a feigning of things, not a acting or a putting on, right? Your Christian life, your walk with the Lord isn't a facade, is it? If it's a facade, we've got a problem. But it's a change in us. Life on the narrow way, which is following Jesus Christ, it yields a Christ-like conversation. But we have many in the day that say that I've been saved, but there's absolutely no change in their life. I spoke with a fella this week, and he says he's saved, but church just isn't for him. Okay, now I can understand, and I don't know where he's going and what he's calling church. But the thing is, the Lord says that those that are saved should follow Him in His church. Follow Him in baptism, to declare to the world that they identify with Christ and that they needed Him to do that for them. And that's the place of service, and that's the place of bringing honor and glory to the Lord, not out in the woods on Sunday morning, but meeting with His people, His church, to follow Him. And so, There's a change, and there's a way of life that's on the narrow way because someone's been saved and put on the narrow way, and someone's been saved by the Lord Jesus and is following after Christ. Remember what it said about denying self? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So life on the narrow way, which is following Christ, it yields a Christ-like conversation, doesn't it? Look at this. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. only let your conversation, remember thinking, speech, and doing, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Saved children of God in the church at Philippi, make that your way of life. All right? Becometh the gospel of Christ. It's to be a match. Jesus has saved me and I love him and I followed him in baptism and I've joined one of his churches and I'll see you in a month or two. Is that right? Does that follow? Is that conversation after and become the God? What's becoming? See, these flowers make here this table that we have. It makes it nicer, doesn't it? Now, we fellas, we really don't get flowers, but the gals get flowers. They like flowers and stuff. And this makes it nice, prettier, right? It makes it prettier, so we're told. All right, but the ladies, they know it makes it prettier. It's becoming, isn't it? That's what that word means. And so our behavior, my conversation, your conversation, needs to make the gospel prettier to the world. Right? It needs to be what's a match. There's nothing more prettier and more wonderful and more great than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God come down, become a man and die for the likes of us. What greater thing is that? So our behavior should be one that makes that prettier to the world. That's our witness. That's our conversation. Amen? I mean, that's a way that it is. And so it says here, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, the apostle writes, I may hear of your affairs, what you're doing, that ye stand fast in one spirit, the spirit of the Lord and the work of the Lord, with one mind striving together, okay, struggling together, working together for the faith of the gospel, that we've been saved by him, by the Lord and by his gospel, and that we behave like it and the world sees it. Not just something we say well, it's Sunday, but I got something else I need to do. Or the Lord says, witness to that person about how I saved you. And I say, no, I'm just not going to talk to them. Or there's something that needs to be done in the church or the ministry of the church and say, no, I can't do that. Or I'm not going to do that. Or I let them do that. Or do you have references? Do you and I have references where we say, well, that church down there that I belong to, they believe, or the past. No, what do you believe? It's your conversation. It's my conversation. It's our conversation individually. That represents the narrow way. Well, it's said, you've heard it said for decades, you that have been members here. Sometimes you might be the only Bible that anybody reads. How do they read it? How do they read it? Do you have a standard and a way of life in your home and in your life that's just the way it is because of following Christ? Period. We go to services whenever the doors open, and we give, and we do, and we participate, and we're there, and we pray, or is it just when it's convenient? Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And so we represent this narrow way, and we're this witness and this testimony to this. Of this narrow way. And this is what the world sees. The world sees our conversation. I am the way, Jesus says. Okay? So now, considering that, there's this broad way and this narrow way. There's this way that we're walking the narrow way, we who are saved, and that testimony and that witness. Let's take a look here and just take a march through the book of Acts and see about the references of this first church and these saints here at the beginning having to do with the Lord and saved by the Lord and how it was with them. Okay? Let's just march through the book of Acts here and see about the way. Okay? Acts 9, verse number 2. Or verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, listen, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. There was something that those people did, and they saw Saul and those religious Jews, those religious leadership of the day, saw the way their conversation was, and they wanted to get them. Now, were they doing anything wrong, the saints at Damascus? No, they were following the Lord. Saul saw their way. Amen? He did. In Acts chapter 16, what's it say over here? Acts chapter 16, we pick it up in verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. Okay, this is Paul at Philippi. And met us. Okay, so this woman, this damsel, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She's demon possessed. Listen, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. There was a way that they followed after, and they saw their conversation, and the demon within the woman testified that these people are the Lord's. The way. They saw their way, didn't they? In Acts chapter 18, and we'll pick it up here in verse number 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. How did they know he was eloquent? How did they know he was strong in the scriptures? Because he spoke and he testified of it and he told about it and he represented a way. He conveyed to them about the narrow way that he was on. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So Aquila and Priscilla, they take him under their wing, and he's willing, and they tell him more about what the Lord Jesus Christ had done from John on. But those that looked on at Apollos, they saw his conversation. They saw that he had this way about him, didn't they? There was a difference that he made. In chapter 19, we read here in verse number 19. These fellows that Paul runs into, certain disciples, verse number 1, and he asks them about receiving the Holy Spirit, since they believed and they hadn't heard that there is any Holy Spirit. And this is part of that transition thing. They were baptized unto John's baptism, and I believe what it is that's one of John's disciples went out doing what John did, having no authority to do so, but that's the way it was. And so Paul baptizes them, lays his hands on them. In verse number 6, they receive the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of that, spake in tongues, prophesied and such. Verse number 7, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, Paul did, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, what way? What Paul preached about, what Paul's order was, what Paul told about Christ, what Paul lived, having been a devout Pharisee before, that way, his conversation, what he thought that was manifested in what he said and what he did. They spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples and disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. The way of the Lord. In this same chapter, we come down here to verse number 23. In the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. That's what people saw. People looking on at the saints, people looking on at the people of God, the children of God, those that have been saved, and those who were following the Lord in his churches that were established here. The people looked on that were not saved, and they saw about the way that they were on. They're on the narrow way, aren't they? And their conversation. And some of them, it troubled and it stirred. And they were saved and they joined that way, didn't they? They followed after themselves. Repented of their sins at the preaching of the gospel and received the Lord Jesus Christ and believed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus died for them. And they became partakers of that way. They went from being on the broad way to the narrow way. Lydia, the jailer, and others. Right? The way, the narrow way. See, the narrow way is seen by the operation and walk of the Lord's people. Right? They see a change. They see this difference. In Acts chapter 22, the scripture says here, in verse number 1, Paul speaking, men, brethren, and fathers, verse number 1 of Acts 22, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death. This way, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Didn't care who they were, not what gender, but the ones that followed after that way. And as we understand that we're on that narrow way, but Paul saw, at the time he was not saved, he looked on that and he saw a difference. He saw their way, that way. It's all. Can you hear him saying it with his teeth gritting, that way? But all the people were doing were following Christ on the narrow way, weren't they? The broad way and the narrow way. Paul was on the broad way and he despised the narrow way, didn't he? In chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse number 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been many years a judge unto this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself. Okay, he's before Felix. Because if thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, as Paul had been accused of doing some things that he didn't do in Jerusalem, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. His doctrine was part of the way that he followed after walking on the narrow way, and there were those there that hated it because they're on the broad way. They saw his conversation, what he thought, what he spoke, and what he did, they saw that and they despised it. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1. And yes, I'm going to make a point with this. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the way of the children of the Lord is seen by those that are on the Broadway and is despised and rejected. Or maybe the Lord uses their witness and their follow and their walking on the way to be a testimony to those on the Broadway. And then what are they found? They repent, believe, they're saved by the Lord, and then they join them in that, and they're found on the way, right? The world looks on at the people of God and see that they follow after that way. Back to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27, the scripture says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." Listen. "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries." It's the adversaries that look on and see our way. Hear that? Our good conversation brought by the Lord in our lives. Our witness. And the scripture goes on and says, "which is to them an evident token of perdition." They look on and see us walking the narrow way and our behavior in the narrow way and our claim and hold to Christ and the Word of God in the narrow way, and they say, "These people are nuts. They're perditious. They're going a way of a fallacy and an empty lie and a way of just nothing." You see that? You see the point? They look on at us and see the way. And to them, it's confusion and foolishness and just a big joke. The apostle says as much. He says, "Whether I'm there with you or I'm absent, I want to hear of your affairs," verse number 27, "that you stand fast in one spirit." That's what you do when you're walking the narrow way. "With one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." That's what you do when you're on the narrow way, following Christ and denying self and taking up your cross daily and following Him. Amen? He says, "and nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition." Doing what it says in verse number 27. Walking in the narrow way. Obeying Christ. Holding to His Word, seeking to look into His Word to find out how we ought to better walk with and operate for the sake of the Lord. "But unto you of salvation and that of God." You hear that? Our walk in the way and what they see, to them it's a token of our perditious way. They think it's nothing. They think it's void. They think it's vain. They think it's empty. This is what the world sees. A nonsensical faith in nothing. You pray to the air. What's that all about? A God of the imagination to help us feel better. See, Saul saw the disciples' way and he despised it. He said it's against God, but it was actually the narrow way unto God. Jesus says, "I'm the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The world looks on and says, "Religion is for weak people." And they see that the people of God are so convicted by the principles, the doctrine, and the man of a book that they'll sacrifice their lives for it. It's crazy behavior that the world looks on. You see what I'm getting at? There's a broad way and it leads to destruction. But there's that narrow way that is Christ, and it is a way. And the world looks on and looks at it just like that, a way that is just weird, square, vain, foolish, and empty. That's what they see. And that's the design. They are to see good conversation coming from you and me. We should not react to what they think about it. We should react to what our Lord has called us to do. Because you know what? They see our way and they see our conversation. But what do you and I see? What are we that are saved? What is it that we see? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Okay? There's a way a broad way that leads to destruction, and there's the narrow way that leads to life. Jesus Christ says, I am the way. And the world and those on the Broadway look on at the people of God as they follow after the Lord, and they see that way that they follow after, that way that Saul wanted to persecute. And then that's the design. We're to be a witness to them. They think it's nonsensical. They think it's vain. They think it's empty. But what is it that we see? Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus. You see that? You hear that? They see the way that we walk. But we who are saved and on the narrow way, what do we see? We don't see behavior. We see our Savior. They see a form of religion. But we see Jesus. You see what I'm getting at? Jesus says, I am the way. Are you following after a practice and a routine and a method of making yourself acceptable to God? Or you follow after and are convicted by and have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? The people that are on the narrow way see Jesus. We're motivated in every way by Jesus. Listen to this. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, listen, should taste death for every man. He tasted death for me. I see Jesus. And he tasted death for me. For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory. He's bringing me, you that are saved. He's bringing you to glory. We don't see a way. We see Jesus. It's not following after an order of religion. We see Jesus. But those that are on the Broadway, they see us following a way. That way is Christ. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Is he your captain? He's my captain. He's my chief. He's my king. He's my Lord. He's my everything. And he suffered for me. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. He's set us apart to walk on that narrow way, which is him. For which cause? He's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call me his brother. Isn't that something? We see Jesus saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. It's a prophecy of David and fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And Jesus has done what he's done in atonement, redemption, and giving himself, offering himself a sacrifice for our sins. And built, making the church that we might worship him and serve him in. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. It's right along the line of what the Lord says there in John 14. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I love you. I want you near me. If I'm going to prepare a place, I will surely come back for you. We are near the Lord. Again, accepted in the beloved. Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, we are flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood. They see a way. We see Jesus on the narrow way. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He destroyed the devil and Satan and wickedness and sin and death for us. Verse 15, and to deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death has got us until we see Jesus. And he's abolished death for me. And for you, if you're here and saved. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. He is my high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's what he's done for us. Talking about the grace of God, look at everything it says about what he's done for us, done for us, done for us, brought us in. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, you know what? He's able to succor them that are tempted. We see Jesus. There's a way. There is a way that leadeth to life. And Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The world sees that we're on a way. They think it's vain, it's empty, it's void, it's nothing. A god of our own mind, religion, a practice that we follow after just to make ourselves feel better. But then they marvel at the saints of God that would give their lives for just the stand of the principle of God's word. They see it as that way, a weird way, a way that makes no sense to the flesh. But you know what we see being on the narrow way? We don't see a way. We see Jesus. How about you? What way are you on? What way are you following? What way are you going down?